Today, of course, is Halloween, and it is the day that you can expect to see Federal News Radio's Tom Temin dressed as a long-distance runner and trick-or-treating in his neighborhood. You should be keeping an eye out for him, but you should also be keeping an eye out for other tricks and treats that are available to you. Tammy Flanagan is Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning and has a quick quiz to boost your knowledge of where to find those retirement treats and how to stay away from nasty financial tricks. Now, Tammy, the last time you gave me a quiz, I thought we would be really funny about this and I would take the quiz, and I failed so miserably that I determined that I will never do that again. And so we're not going to. But as you look at the landscape for potential tricks and treats, what are the things that you're emphasizing people should be paying attention to, Tammy?
Well, this time I'm just thinking about the fact that there's not going to be much in the way of a pay increase and not much more in the way of a cost of living adjustment for retirees coming up in 2015. But we are on the cusp of the next federal open season for health benefits. And I really think that employees can find some treats in the case of health insurance and health insurance options, whether it's contributing to a flexible spending account or maybe taking a look at changing your federal health plan to something that might be just as good a coverage but not quite as expensive. So I think you can free up some extra cash if you really take some time and pay attention this open season.
What are some of the ways that people should be paying attention? I mean, I think if Mike Causey's told me once, he's told me 1,000 times, about 6% of federal employees actually change anything on open season. Now, I understand that doesn't mean that only 6% look. It's possible that a lot of people look and say, turns out I'm in the best plan for me already. But 6% doesn't indicate that there are a whole lot of people that are probably doing so.
Yeah, I think what it is, it's almost mind-numbing because there's so many choices and so many different options to choose from. It's really hard to discern one from the next and really see what's different about, you know, this plan versus that plan. So there are some tools out there that I think make it easier to help pick out a plan that might be more cost-effective for you and for your family. But I know that I think that's what's overwhelming. I think that's why you see too many people making choices, because you're afraid you might make a bad choice because you're not sure you're understanding all of your options. But what I tell people is that if you do make a choice and you're not happy with it, you know, the worst that'll happen is you have to wait till next open season and you can change back to what you had. But, you know, you might be surprised.
Yeah, everything's for a season. In this case, the season only has to last 1 year. So you've got five things that that we should consider for open season. And I want to talk about each of them in turn for just a moment. You write, contribute to a flexible spending account if you're an eligible federal employee. These are things to consider, not necessarily things that you're putting down as a must. But What's the benefit if I'm not in an FSA already, Tammy?
Yeah, most of us have some out-of-pocket medical expenses, whether it's when we go to the dentist, we might spend some money out-of-pocket, or whether we fill a prescription every month, we pay a copay. And in many cases, we pay that with after-tax dollars. But by contributing to a flexible spending account, you can pay those expenses with dollars that won't be taxed at all. And that means a savings of not paying the FICA tax on those dollars for Social Security or the Medicare tax or your federal income tax or your state income tax. So all in all, that savings for taxes on those out-of-pocket expenses can come pretty close to half of what you spent. So it can cut down on the cost of your health care and put some more dollars in your pocket.
Yeah, if you figure that out ratio-wise, which I think I figured out right, if you contribute and spend around $2,500, you gave me the number $1,041.25, and you do the math there to explain it. We have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. But figuring out my ratio, that cuts the cost of what you spent by about a third because you're getting that $1,000 back.
Exactly. And it budgets the expense over the course of the year. So there's a lot of pluses to doing it. And I'm not exactly sure why employees aren't all taking advantage of that. So that's something I would look at this open season. There will be some changes to the flexible spending account program for next year. So even employees who have been doing it should take another look at it, because some of the benefits will be changing there as far as how much you can carry over into 2016 and what's the minimum you can contribute for 2015.
And I think that might be the scary part. is because I know with I can't remember now if it's the FSA or the HSA, which we'll talk about in a minute, it's use it or lose it. And there are probably some folks who go, well, I'm afraid I'm going to budget wrong and figure wrong and I'll lose that money. So that might be one thing that's holding people up.
I think you're right.
The second point that you propose people consider is a high deductible health plan or a consumer-driven health plan. What do you mean by a consumer-driven health plan, Tammy?
Yeah, both of these options are health plans that might have a higher deductible than what you're used to, but they're also going to have lower premiums than what most federal employees are used to. So you can get away with paying some lower cost for the health benefit premiums. You're going to get a health care account that you can spend first dollars on your health care expenses, but then you are going to have a higher deductible to deal with. But when you consider the tax savings, the lower premiums, and that this health spending account, you're going to find out that your overall cost for health care can go way down.
The third item on your list is consider enrolling in Medicare Part B as well as Part A and change your federal health plan to lower your FEHBP costs and eliminate most of your deductibles, co-pays, and co-insurance. I'm not an insurance genius, Tammy, but when you lay it out that way, that's pretty clear for me to understand where my savings are going to come from.
Right, and I think what a lot of employees who are getting close to 65, and especially retirees who are 65 and over, they dwell on the cost of Medicare Part B, which is over $100 a month per person. So you are going to pay a premium for Medicare Part B. But what you don't think about, perhaps, is the fact that you can change your federal health plan to something less expensive that will work just as well with Medicare than one of the higher-priced plans. So take a look at some of the plans that have some benefits for Medicare enrollees, and there's a new one in particular this open season called Aetna Direct that's designed especially for retirees with Medicare. Very low-cost plan, very good coverage, and it really complements Medicare very well.
The fourth item that you write people should consider is changing your current health plan but staying in the same category. So if you have an HMO, keep your HMO, just get it from a different provider, fee-for-service, same deal. And you really get at some wild numbers here. You write, the cost of the plan isn't an indication of the quality of the plan. And then some of these ranges are mind-boggling. Biweekly premiums for self and family fee-for-service plans range from $94 a pay period to $352 a pay period for the same form of coverage. Now, I understand the coverage differs from plan to plan, but, I mean, that's a really broad range. And if you're in that one that's $352 every pay period, I'll bet the $94 one looks pretty appealing.
Yeah, you better be getting your money's worth, right?
Exactly.
So really look and see what that plan is covering, different from what a less expensive plan might cover. And those are fee-for-service ranges. If you look at the range in price in HMO-style coverage, it's even wilder. Some of them have the employee rate up to $1,000 biweekly.
The fifth item on your list, Tammy, pardon me, is although this open season isn't directly related to life insurance or long-term care insurance, this might be a great time to review your needs for these benefits. And you write about Fegley, and there are other places you can get life insurance too. But I'm surprised as I talk to folks, the way people look at life insurance, and you write pretty extensively about this piece and how people should evaluate their life insurance needs. What are the things that people usually that you talk to usually aren't thinking about their life insurance that they probably should, Tammy?
Well, first of all, most people really shouldn't, you know, you don't want to get your money's worth out of your life insurance.
Right.
So many people will drop their life insurance before they die, which is perfectly fine because you buy it while you need it. You buy it to protect your family and those you leave behind in the event of your untimely death. You know, if you die at a young age, you want to make sure you can still raise your kids and pay off your house. But as you get older, you have a need for thinking about your own future as far as what if I should need long-term care? And you realize that the first in line to be your caregiver is your family. So maybe thinking about long-term care insurance as a way to protect those family caregivers might be a way to trade premiums from life insurance over to long-term care insurance.
You are lining up a series of programs already for your benefit, which you co-host Mondays at 10 a.m. with Bob Lines on Federal News Radio. And those programs are all archived. So if you missed Tammy's appearances on the show, you can go back and listen to them later. But you're going to tackle open season in a couple of Mondays, November 10th. with Walt Francis, and he's the guru of this stuff. Mm-hmm. We joke with Walt because we kid him that he comes out of his cave for 1 month a year and spends the rest of his time working on the next checkbook guide in his basement.
We've all learned a lot from Walt, that's for sure.
So you're going to see him on November 10th, and you're going to look at some of the plans over the next couple of weeks after that. What do you hope by the time open season wraps up that people have done, whether or not they change their plans?
At least take a couple of hours, and it may take you a couple of hours to really do a good review of what you have now, what your current situation is as far as any chronic illnesses you might have or any things that might be in the works for next year as far as healthcare expenses, and just sit down for an hour or two on a Saturday morning and take a look at that. And by the way, tomorrow's Saturday.
Just coincidentally enough.
Yeah, that's right.